Turn your Bibles to Colossians chapter 4. Colossians chapter 4, verses 7 through 18. As we're on our last sermon in the book of Colossians, it's a good book. And as next week, we'll be entering into this small book of Titus. So it should be a good time there. One quick announcement that I forgot to mention is Operation Christmas Child. We have boxes out in the lobby. If you want to take those home, fill them up, and then bring them back to the church, that would be much appreciated. And then I think it's November 12th, we'll have kind of like a packing party, and then after that week after, we'll send them to their places that they need to go. So just a reminder for that. So Colossians chapter 4. I already read verses 7 through 9, so let's just read out the rest of the book, verses 10 through 18 of Colossians 4. Aristarchus, my fellow prisoner, greets you, and Mark, the cousin of Barnabas, concerning whom you have received instructions. If he comes to you, welcome him. And Jesus, who is called Justice, these men are the only men of the circumcision among my fellow workers for the kingdom of God, and they have been a comfort to me. Epaphras, who is one of you, a servant of Christ Jesus, greets you, always struggling on your behalf in his prayers, that you may stand mature and fully assured in all the will of God. For I bear him witness that he has worked hard for you and for those in Laodicea and Hierapolis. Luke, the beloved physician, greets you, as does Demas. Give my greetings to the brothers at Laodicea and to Nympha and the church in her house. And when this letter has been read among you, have it also read in the church of the Laodiceans, and see that you also read the letter from Laodicea. And say to Archippus, see that you fulfill the ministry that you've received in the Lord. I, Paul, write this greeting with my own hand. Remember my chains. Grace be with you. Okay. So, as we end out the book of Colossians, Paul talks about some greetings and some final instructions and things to that manner. But our passage for today, entitled, No Lone Wolves. We hear the phrase often. It comes from the fact that there are some wolves who live independently from the pack. And so these wolves don't have the strength of the pack with them. They're going at life alone. And they have challenges as they try to make it on their own. They try to find food. They try to find protection on their own. It's harder to kill prey when the wolf is by itself and not in the pack. And so after noticing this in wolves, we have come to call people sometime lone wolves. We could characterize them as someone who works alone, who goes at life alone, who's possibly emotionally unattached to people. And many of them maybe don't have a good support system. They don't have many friends. They don't really have much of a family. And they're this lone wolf. And often in our lives, we tend to be kind of like lone wolves. We try to live life alone, not knowing that we could have people helping us along the way. And so we become discouraged because we don't have anyone encouraging us. And we get stuck deeper and deeper into sin because no one is keeping an eye on us. No one is keeping us accountable. There's no one praying for us. There's no one keeping an eye on us. But also, we're not helping anyone else when you're a lone wolf. And that's important as well. So last week we saw Paul's kind of final instructions for the Colossians, how they should live with intentional prayer and wise witness. And as Paul closes out his book, he tells Colossians of people who are on their side and who are helping them. And he also encourages them of people that are being sent to them. He's like, I'm sending these people to you. Sometimes we don't realize that the Christian life is not made to be lived alone. It's made to be lived in community with other Christians. Ultimately, Paul shows us that others are beneficial to our lives, but also we are beneficial to other people's lives as well. So let's see two reasons why we shouldn't be lone wolves as Christians. And the first is because there are some things others can do for us. There are some things other people can do for us. I think of the most recent shooting in Las Vegas, and it was a horrible incident, but it also showed us that people can be very helpful to one another. One of the many stories that came out of this incident came from two women. And so these two women were running, and they dived underneath a table, and immediately a guy who had already been shot kind of covered them up so that he could protect them. And so it was this amazing display of just wanting to help someone in need. And incredibly, all three people survived the violent event. So we need to realize that other people can help us. They can help us in wonderful ways. Often sometimes we become bitter and we try to push people away. But we need to realize that people can help us. And so the first way they can help us is by, they can share. They can share. There's a lot of reasons why we follow the news, but one reason is to stay up to date with what's going on. We like to know what's going on. We like to be updated. It's not a fun feeling when you're kind of out of the loop and you don't know what's going on. We want to hear about activities that are going on. So for Paul, he didn't want the Colossians to stay out of the loop. He wanted the Colossians to know that you have people who care about you, who are thinking about you. So we see people sharing greetings with the Colossians. So really, if you're sharing a greeting, it's like I care enough to show you that I'm greeting you. And so they're friends in Christ. We find that with Luke and Demas, where they send their greetings. Luke, this is the same Luke who wrote Luke and Acts. He was a physician who traveled regularly with Paul. He was a huge asset for Paul. And then we find Demas, who at this time is a fellow worker with Paul, but who we later find out in 2 Timothy that he deserts Paul because of his love for the world. But at this time, Demas is a fellow worker of Paul, and he sends his greetings. And so they show their care and love for the Colossians. So other believers can care for and love us. They demonstrate Christ's love to us in encouraging ways. And we secondly see that other people can share what God is doing. We find Tychicus and Onesimus, where they're sent to the Colossians to not only carry the letter, but also to share what's going on in Paul's ministry. We find this Tychicus, who was from Asia Minor, and he was often entrusted with carrying Paul's letters and delivering news and encouraging people along the way. And he was very capable, a capable leader, as a couple times in Scripture we find that he was mentioned as a possibility to replace Timothy and Titus at certain times. And then we also find he's this representative of a Gentile convert in Acts 20. And then you should recognize the name Onesimus from the book of Philemon. He's that runaway slave who got saved. And so we find him here. This is before he goes back to Philemon, but Paul probably wrote Philemon around the same time, so he's probably carrying the letter of Philemon on its way. So just interesting how that works. So that's Onesimus. So both of these men were considered faithful. They're considered faithful brothers in Christ. They demonstrated this faithfulness in the cause of Christ. You know, it's so enriching to hear what God is doing in the world. So, you know, it's great to hear what God is doing in Clearfield, but also to hear what God is doing all around the world. I think of missionaries who come in and it's like, man, it's just amazing how God is working. And so we need other people to share what God is doing. So maybe that's through missionaries. Maybe that's through public testimony of God is working my life. Or even 101, where someone is sharing like with you 101 how God is working in my life recently. It's a great way to hear stories of how God is still in control. So Paul wanted the Colossians to know what was going on because he wanted to encourage them to keep going. He's like, this is what's going on in my ministry, and this I want to keep you updated of what is going on in my life. So when they hear that Paul is still hard at work in ministry and the gospel has not stopped, it helps them push on. It helps them be faithful because they know God is not done in the world. So testimonies of God's work keep us motivated to greater faithfulness, to greater perseverance. And so other people are essential in sharing what God is doing in our church and in the world. So are you open to hearing people's testimonies? Do you ask people how God is working in their life? It's important to hear what God is doing. You see, God is working in a myriad of ways, but sometimes we don't know about it. So be open to listening to what God is doing. So other people can share, but they can also encourage. They can encourage us. We all like to be encouraged. We like to feel encouraged. First of all, it shows that someone cares about me. They care enough to encourage me. But also, it lifts your spirit in hard times and difficult times. And so the Colossians had someone to encourage them. Someone coming, and his name was Tychicus. We just learned about him. Well, in the second part of verse 8, we see that Paul sent him to bring news, but also he sent him for the purpose of encouraging the Colossians. He knew that encouragement was necessary for the Christian. So he plans it out that Tychicus would be that encourager. You see, the Colossians, if you remember, as we studied, they faced false teaching. They needed the reminder to stand firm in the gospel. And Tychicus would continue that encouragement that Paul has written in this letter. We also find a couple men named Aristarchus, Mark, and Justus. Each of these men was a Jewish Christian. They were the only Jewish Christians at this point with Paul working alongside of him. And Aristarchus was one of Paul's companions throughout several instances in the Bible. Justus, we don't really know too much other than what's written here. And then Mark is the same person as John Mark, if you remember. In Paul's ministry, John Mark was with him and Barnabas, and then they have a disagreement about Mark, and a sharp disagreement, and Paul doesn't want to take Mark, and Barnabas, who is the cousin of Mark, wants to take him, and ultimately they go their separate ways where Paul goes with Silas. But Paul felt like he couldn't take him. Well, here we find out that Mark is working alongside Paul again. So obviously there's some kind of reconciliation in Christ between the two. And John Mark's story is a great example for us that even when we fail in ministry, that doesn't mean that failure needs to stop us from future ministry. We can keep on. We can be useful in the future. So Paul says, all three of these men have been a comfort to me. You see, even Paul needed encouraged. So don't shy away from Christian relationships. Strive for them. They help us encourage to go on. When we go through the hardest times of our life, we should be able to depend on other people. That's the way it should work. But to have people encourage you, you need to be around. People need to know what's going on in your life. Do you have a group of encouragers in your life? You see, no one said life was easy. Sin's still prevalent. Pain is still there. Discouragement seems to always rear its ugly head in our lives. But what better thing to lift you up than some godly encouragers who are there for you? Some people who point you to truth. So other people can share, encourage, and pray. They can pray for us. We often don't think about how prayer for other people can make a difference. So we may think about our prayer for them, but what about other people praying for you? Have you ever thought about appealing to more and more people to pray for you, more and more godly people to pray? Instead of thinking, as we often do, you know, it's my problem, I'm going to pray for it myself. But instead, reaching out to people and having people pray for you. And so here in verses 12 and 13, we see a man named Epaphras, who shared, if you remember in the beginning of Colossians, he's the one who shared the gospel originally with the Colossians and who kind of led them to Christ. He was from them and from their town and a fellow servant of Christ. But more than that, Epaphras strived earnestly in prayer. If you remember this word earnestly, it's kind of like an athlete in a competition where you're just working so hard. And so that's how Epaphras was viewed, is he's working hard in prayer. He's struggling in prayer. Most often you can't characterize our prayer like that, where you're struggling. But here Epaphras is struggling for them. So he understood the need to intercede on behalf of the Colossians, and he did it passionately and consistently. So why did he do this? So that they would stand matured and full.